We are at war, and it's not against our neighbors, spouses, children, politicians, or whatever else we feel like we're battling against.
So the questions are, who's the fight against, and are we winning or losing? We're the Adkins, and we are a force to be reckoned with.
Are you ready to join the force?
Tuesday, everybody. And we want to say thank you for choosing us.
No.
Yeah, that's what we're sticking with.
That is not allowed.
That's what we're sticking with. That is not allowed.
And you make fun of me for dad jokes?
Okay. Wow. Hey, guys. We hope you're doing great.
Just so you know, that was trash. No cap.
Okay. Well, you trash. Are... I don't know any of the slang, so lame.
I'm bussing.
Okay, so what are we calling this episode?
We're calling it The Parable of the Kite.
And if Lisa's listening to this, she's rolling her eyes right now.
Letha. Wait a minute, why?
Because
she doesn't like it when we play that sound?
No, because you told her you were going to turn this into a podcast episode, and I was like, are you serious?
Why would she? She was into it.
Oh.
Remember, she was helping me come up with the storyline.
Are you sure she didn't just feel bad for you?
No. Do you want to phone her? We could actually bring her in and she could be the third host on this cast.
Should I phone a friend? No, it's 10 o'clock
at
night.
No, you can't be doing that.
Okay.
Okay. So, anyways.
Before you start, you know what's crazy? We didn't think that we had flown kites. Well, I did. I've flown kites with thanks to Grandma Rose and Pappy Rose. And,
yeah.
And I loved flying kites when I was little. But like as an adult, I didn't think I had until my Google memories popped up this morning. And on April 1st, how many years ago was that? It was April 1st.
Actually, or is this a joke?
No, actually, April 1st, 2018.
You flew a kite.
We're on the ocean flying kites with Carter.
That's crazy.
And he's going to be
at
so
Oceanside.
Excited to know this. He doesn't even
because he doesn't remember.
He's flown a kite.
And he didn't think that he had ever flown a kite before.
Okay. Anyway.
So yeah. All right. So we're on vacation and you bought kites, right? And Carter wanted to fly a kite. He's almost 12 years old. He's, you know, he's
Mr. Independent.
Mr. Independent, very competitive. And he wanted to get this kite up, and he wanted to get the kite up on his own. And, you know,
he was over playing with the kids, mm-hmm. and I was over flying a kite, and mine was up really high in the air. And so that enticed him, and he came over with another kite.
Right.
I was trying to get in there.
And to be honest with you, don't let this get to your head, but you made it look easy.
Well,
to get the kite up.
That's because if you know how to fly a kite, it's relatively easy to get it in the air in the right conditions. If you don't, which he didn't, it's very hard. And
right.
But you just have to know a couple little tweaks here and there to get it up. And he didn't know them.
Right. And he just wanted to figure this thing out on his own.
Right.
Which to some level, I can respect that, you know, he didn't want a bunch of help. He just wanted to, you know, do it. But
he also, if he would have taken that
advice, it would have happened a lot quicker. So, actually, let's just stop right there. There's a little lesson in that. Sometimes people are beating their head against the wall trying to do something that they've never done before, where if you would just reach out to somebody that has already done it or read a book or listen to a podcast and get a few pointers, it could go a long way to make things a lot smoother and easier for
you.
Like,
why reinvent the wheel if somebody's already flown a kite? Like, learn from people who know what they're doing and save yourself the time.
Right.
Same thing with, like, there are people who've gone ahead of you and learned things. And the other thing is, when it comes to kite flying, what he was doing wrong is he was getting it up to a certain point, and you have that whole line of rope that he wasn't releasing. And I kept telling him, no, you need to release more, or you need to release more. But because of, like, the wind, he was feeling like, and a lot of people who have never flown kites before, like, you're feeling like you need to control it, when really... If
sometimes
you just release
it,
it will just take off, and then Like you have to pull it a little bit and then release and pull it a little bit and release. And he was just holding on and it kept nosediving.
Yeah. And I think my immediate thought there, the lesson there is that there's a lot of times, especially if somebody's in a position of leadership or running a business where they don't want to let go of certain tasks, so they don't want to let their training, they're bringing somebody in to maybe help them, but they don't want to completely let go.
Delegation.
And delegate, and they don't release the control and let them, and you know, sometimes they may crash. And sometimes they may take off,
they may flourish.
But you're never going to know if they're going to flourish if you don't let go a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyways, so yeah, so he was failing at this kite to the point where, you know, it has been 30 plus minutes or so of him trying to get this kite up. It wasn't happening. And he threw a fit, mm-hmm. right? And stormed off into the house. And
I was like, you're grounded. That's it. You're grounded. Because
he had a bad
attitude.
Not
that he was failing at the kite, but that his attitude sucked. And the lesson in that is, no, I'm just kidding. There's no lesson there. We don't have to have a lesson for everything.
And then, so yeah, so that happened. And then he came back, what did he tell you?
He was like, how about this? If I can get this kite in the air and have a good attitude, then I'm not grounded anymore. And I was like, okay, whatever. If you can get the kite in the air, and you can have a good attitude about it, then you won't be grounded.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that is sometimes if you get your back against the wall.
The lesson in that is.
Seriously, though, sometimes you get your back against the wall. Sometimes you can negotiate your way out of it.
And I mean, really, he was grounded from his phone and from video games. And so that little incentive right there got him figuring it out pretty quick.
So then, he keeps working and he gets this shark kite up in the air, right? And then our sweet little 3-year-old Maya.
He's like, oh, Mom, I'm so excited. Get Maya. I want her to fly the kite. And he did.
And he handed her the kite and handed her the kite completely. And
the lesson is that is, if you're going to delegate, don't completely release everything. He handed everything over.
Everything over to her, everything that he had worked for. He handed her the keys to the kingdom.
I explained to him, I was like, no, you give, when you're letting kids fly, you give them like the plastic piece.
Yeah, and then you hold on to the string.
And then you hold on to the string so that if they let go, you still have the string. And also you're still, they think they're controlling it, but you're actually controlling it.
And Maya let go. And
Carter's far back off the shore flying it. And I'm toward the like shoreline and I just see him bolting toward me and I look a little bit ahead and I see the kite flying too. And I'm holding the baby, our friend's baby. And I'm like, run over to it and I take a dive and I missed it by probably 6 inches.
Yeah. I was standing right beside them because I was holding Maya's food. So I had Maya's food in my hands and it starts going and I'm like, I can't just throw Maya's food in the sand. And so I'm like, Maya's just standing there watching. I'm like, Maya, take your food. And so by the time she took her food and I started running, it was too late. And then JJ tried to run for it too, and it was gone. And then Carter really threw a fit.
Yeah, he ran so fast. He ran into the water after the thing. Oh, I felt so bad.
But then he went back up to the house that time, and the kite took off, and JJ and I are just standing there. We're like, oh, crap. Well, then we're just watching it. And it was like, well, there's nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is kind of cool. Or let's see how far this really kite's going to go. That kite did not crash. Like, we never saw it crash. Like, it went so far to the point where you could almost not see it.
It's
and
in
then
outer space,
it got
for
to
sure.
the point where we still, it got to the point where we couldn't see it. We never saw it hit the, like, we watched it all the way through. And unfortunately, Carter missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And because he stormed back off to the house.
Like, you guys made lemonade out of lemons because you enjoyed the view.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So there it was like, all right, this happened. There's nothing we can do about it now. It's completely out of our control. Let's just watch it and see what happens. And then it was like, it turned into a cool thing and everything. So then Carter came back, eventually came back down, readjusted his attitude, and got another kite and started working on it. And the thing I thought of there as I was just thinking through this story and like the lessons to take from it was, okay, he worked hard on this opportunity. This opportunity failed. It's gone. That opportunity is gone. Does that mean that that's the end of it? That you're just done and it's over? No. There's another opportunity. There is another kite. Get back on the horse. Keep pushing forward and work hard at the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's gone. That's out of your control. There's nothing you can do. So he worked hard and he got the next kite up. And he got it up really high and he kept working it. And then he got that kite, he tied it off. He started working on another one and he got it and he got that one up and he started working on it. And then for the rest of the trip, he was Mr. Kite. Anytime any of the kids wanted to get a kite up, it's like, hey, go talk to Carter. Carter will help you get the kite up. And he was, and then like Andy had bought these other kites that the strings were like at least twice, maybe even three times as long as the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were harder. And there was actually one of those kites. Some of the like other adults were trying to get it up and nobody could get the kite up. Carter got it up and it had a really long string and he got it up and that baby was flying. He had him tied off. He's getting multiple ones going. And when anybody wanted a kite, he would get it up and he was letting him hold it. And he became
Mr.
Kite, became the expert. And so like with all of this, like Carter learned that one, you know, you need to don't quit, don't give up, keep pushing forward. You know, he was able to learn an attitude adjustment there. There's an opportunity to learn about it, having just maintaining a good positive attitude, taking advice at the beginning, especially when you're just getting started and trying to learn. And then, you know, if your kite flies off into the ocean, your opportunity is gone. Just get back up.
Mm-hmm.
And do the next thing. There's another kite. There's always another kite, right? And then the next thing you know, if you stick with it long enough, you're persistent enough, you can start to learn to help others to get their kites up too.
Love it.
How was that, Lisa? The parable of the kite.
Our kids just teach us something every day.
They really do. It is funny when you think about it.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of times with kids and the things that they're going through it and the lessons they're learning, they're so much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier sometimes to extract the lesson.
What do you mean?
Like remember when we did the whole lemonade stand? Remember when we talked about the lesson of the lemonade stand? Like it was just such a simple thing that's taking place, mm-hmm. that it's easier to extract the lesson sometimes out of them. When it's like an adult situation, sometimes it's there's lots of layers and it's a lot more complicated,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost like we're watching like children's books,
mm-hmm. except God's probably looking down at us and like, you idiot, this idiot. Is so simple.
This is like flying a kite.
The lesson already. How many things do I have to torture you with?
How many kites are you going to let go out into the ocean, Corey, before you finally get it?
It's so simple.
Yeah, he's watching. He's like, what, you just going to storm off into the house now?
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, our kids do teach us something every day. And the thing is, I don't know, just like even with the kite example, that's something I love about parenting. It's a love-hate thing because honestly, I don't want to deal with my kid's attitude and I just want to like send them off and be done with it.
Yeah.
But it's through those quality time moments,
mm-hmm.
that we get to teach them life skills and teach them how to be like a good human and somebody who perseveres. And like, and that is why I think that the excessive screen time and mm-hmm. the lack of intentionality, it really just does our kids such a disservice because as we were planning on going on this vacation, our friends were like, kept saying, oh, come on, you got to come. It's an investment in your family. And Well, that is true. And it could also be a really good sales pitch and also an excuse to be like financially irresponsible. It is true. Like having moments of quality time, it is an investment in your kids and it's an investment with your family. So as something as simple as kite flying, you know,
he might not
have learned the lesson that time, but we were,
it's going to take multiple times and he's going to hear this and he's going to be reminded. And the big thing to his credit is that he persisted and we didn't make him keep going back to that kite.
Yeah.
He chose to, and he persisted. And then if he wouldn't have persisted, we wouldn't have had this story to tell.
Yeah. And also like now, next time when he tries to figure something else out, maybe he's trying to learn how to ride a skateboard and do some type of trick. We can point him back to the kite story. Like, remember how frustrating that was and how you worked and worked and worked and you overcame that.
Yeah.
And you can do it again. And then it might take the skateboard story, but then it might be like a job that he wants to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really cool.
There's pretty much nothing in life that just being persistent, trying to learn from as you make mistakes and just working hard.
Yeah.
That you can't become at least competent in.
Yeah. Yeah. Fluent. Yeah.
If not an expert, just depends on the amount of time and effort and willingness to learn that you put in.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say about it is just like, it sounds so dumb. Maybe to some people, like, okay, really, you're going to pull a lesson out of that. But like, our kids learn so much more through living life alongside us and with us and spending quality time with us than they would ever learn in a classroom. And so I think sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves, like, I need to sit down and I need to like go over this thing and teach my kid this thing and walk them through how to do this and sit down and like read the Bible to them and, you know, teach them these financial principles and like all of that. Yeah, there is time and space for that. And that is true. But more than anything, like, they're going to learn
through life,
through how we walk with God and how we respond in hardships and how we persevere and like through us exposing them to things that are hard.
But I think so many of life lessons stick more when you're in the midst of something, and as parents we just take the time to help them maybe shift their perspective and see the lesson in what is they're currently experiencing or going through. You know, like, we can teach financial lessons when they're wanting to buy something, or they're at the store and they don't have enough money for something or whatever. Like, there's so many just lessons through real life when if you just pause for a minute and point it out that this is a lesson and here's what you can learn from it and here, maybe try this or whatever, like, it's going to stick more a lot of times than just sitting down in some type of structured environment.
Yeah, I agree completely. And that can go for everyday life, like buying things, checking out. This is a debit card. This is how a debit card works. Answering their questions in the car, successes and failures, and being like, I screwed up today.
Yeah. And for anybody that would think that that was stupid, that we pulled a lesson out of that, like, the funny thing is
I wasn't saying it was stupid.
I know, but like, I was just going to say that as it was happening and like right after it happened, I was just thinking about it. And like, it was like, I was thinking of the lesson for myself, even. You know what I mean? It was like, wow, man, look at the lesson that Carter just learned or that Carter just went through. Like, this is pretty cool, you know? So, anyways, you got anything else you want to add to this?
No, I think that's it. We hope that you guys enjoyed the parable of the kites. We expect to see it in textbooks, in classrooms, on posters, on screensavers, and on your social media reels. We'll catch you next week.